Welcome to our new series, Towns of Terror, in which we explore the darker side of the world's towns, cities, and states. There will be three chapters to these videos: real-life horror stories, which will include true crime events; paranormal, so all things ghost sightings, haunted locations, and tales; and lastly, myths and legends, because all towns have their own mythical creature sightings and stories. We're kicking off this new series with Arkansas, the natural state of the US, known for its picturesque lakes, rivers, and hot springs. However, beneath its natural beauty lies a darker history that we're eager to uncover. Join us on a spine-chilling journey as we dig deep into the terrifying tales that lurk within the state of Arkansas. From haunted houses to unsolved crimes, we'll take you on a journey of emotions in this first chapter of Towns of Terror. As always, hit those lights, sit back, and enjoy. Horror stories and true crime events. We'll begin with John Markle, who on the 16th of November 1987 was the perpetrator of a horrific crime in Little Rock. John was the son of Oscar-winning actress Mercedes McCambridge, who won the award in 1949 for Best Supporting Actress in All the King's Men. She also became well known as the voice of the demon in The Exorcist. John had an unsettled childhood, and after his mother divorced his father, he was adopted by her second husband, film and television director Fletcher Markle. As a child, John was said to have a brilliant mind, and later went on to earn a master's from the University of California in Los Angeles. In 1968, he married Christina Mull, and the couple went on to have two daughters. In 1979, the family moved to Little Rock, Arkansas, and John worked at Stevens Inc. as a futures trader. He quickly rose the ranks and became a vice president after only 8 months, and the performances of his accounts were exceptional. He was known as a devoted family man, although fiercely private. However, things started to go wrong, and questions were raised about some of his accounts, and in October 1987, he was put on medical leave while the accounts were reviewed. The investigation led to the discovery of an extensive embezzlement scheme involving accounts belonging to his mother. As a result, John was fired on November 13, 1987. 3 days later, John murdered his wife and two daughters before taking his own life. However, this was no spontaneous act. It appeared it had been carefully planned. In the days before the deaths, John voided his previous will, replacing it with one that made no provision for his wife or children. Just before he killed himself, John called his attorney, Richard Lawrence, at 4 a.m. and asked him to come over. By this time, he had already written, dated, and time-stamped a suicide note that acknowledged he had murdered his wife and daughters. Lawrence called the police, who arrived at 4:17 a.m. They found the film Nightmare on Elm Street in the VCR and multiple guns scattered around the home. John's body was in the downstairs study. It appeared he had shot himself with two guns, one each side of his head. His wife and two daughters were also discovered with multiple gunshot wounds. In total, 15 guns were found in the house. Police also found a Halloween mask near to Markle's body, and they determined that he had likely been wearing the blood-splattered mask when he shot his daughters. Tests also found all four victims had the sedative, Elavil, in their systems. Another letter was discovered addressed to John's mother. It made clear she knew nothing of his business dealings, but it did, in no uncertain terms, point out her failings as a mother, bitterly detailing her as absent, inattentive, and uncaring. A tragic and horrifying case all round that has left a dark, lasting impression in Arkansas. The Whitewater Controversy. One of the biggest controversies in American politics was the Whitewater Controversy, which rocked the Clinton administration in the 1990s. In the late 1970s, Bill and Hillary Clinton invested in a real estate development called Whitewater in Arkansas. The development failed and the Clintons lost money, but years later, the Whitewater Controversy erupted, and the Clintons found themselves under investigation. The investigation centered around allegations that the Clintons had used their political influence to secure loans for the Whitewater development, and that they had lied about their involvement in the project. The investigation dragged on for years, and the Clintons were forced to testify before a grand jury. Ultimately, no charges were filed against them in connection with the incident. However, the controversy had a lasting impact on the Clintons' political career and fueled speculation about their ethics and honesty, and it set the stage for future investigations into their conduct. This is quite an interesting topic, and I'd recommend you do your own research on this one, as it's very easy to go down the rabbit hole. The West Memphis Three. This case is probably the most well-known case in Arkansas, as well as the most disturbing. Known as the Memphis Three, Damien Ackles, Jason Baldwin, and Jesse Miskelly Jr. were just teenagers when in 1994 they were convicted of the triple murder of 8-year-old boys Chris Byers, Stevie Branch, and Michael Moore. At their trial, it was revealed that the killings were part of a cultic ritual. This is the story. On May 5, 1993, Byers, Branch, and Moore were reported missing by their parents. Less than 24 hours later, their bodies were found in a water-filled ditch in the woods of the Robin Hood Hills subdivision. The boys were naked, beaten, and hogtied, and one of them had been castrated. At the scene, police found little evidence and a noticeable lack of blood or fibers. It was as if the crime scene had been scrubbed clean. Rumors spread that a satanic cult was responsible for the boys' deaths, and the theory quickly overshadowed the investigation. Jerry Driver, a juvenile probation officer for Crittenden County, stepped forward. He had dealings with teenager Damien Ackles after he was arrested for burglary and sexual misconduct, and he was convinced that Ackles was involved in a satanic cult. Driver shared his suspicions with the police. Ackles denied any connection with Satanism, but did admit to believing in and practicing magic. Jason Baldwin, who was friends with Ackles, also became a suspect, along with Jesse Miskelly Jr., who had little connection to either Ackles or Baldwin, although he did know them. This association and the fact he attended a witch's gathering with Miskelly led him to being questioned by the police for several hours, resulting in him confessing to the murders and implicating Ackles and Baldwin. He later retracted his confession. However, despite this, the police still arrested him, Ackles, and Baldwin for the crime, and did not pursue any other leads. Miskelly later stated that he had been confused by the questioning of the police, and had attempted to cooperate without realizing the implications of his statements. The trials of the three teenagers drew much media attention. Most of the evidence at the trial was circumstantial and relied solely on Miss Kelly's statement. The jury chose to believe what they heard, and all three were convicted of the boys' murders. Miss Kelly and Baldwin were both sentenced to life in prison, with an additional 40 years tacked on for Miss Kelly, and Ackles was sentenced to death. Almost immediately, the three defense teams in the case launched appeals claiming trial misconduct. After numerous failed attempts, on November 4, 2010, the Arkansas Supreme Court ordered that a hearing take place in order to analyze new evidence that could potentially exonerate the three men. However, the new evidence did not conclusively point to a different perpetrator, and the three remained in custody. The case inspired numerous documentaries, books, and debates, as well as a website named Free the West Memphis Three, to inform the public about the case, as well as to ask for donations to help fund their defense team. Over the years, numerous celebrities added their support, including Eddie Vedder of the rock group Pearl Jam, Johnny Depp, and singer Natalie Maines from the Dixie Chicks. As negotiations between the lawyers continued, it was suggested that both sides agreed to an Alford plea. An Alford plea required the three defendants to plead guilty to a series of lesser charges, while stating for the record that they were innocent and only pleaded guilty because it was in their best interest. With Ackles' execution date looming, all three agreed to the plea, and each of the defendants pleaded guilty while maintaining their innocence and were released on time served. After 18 years, they were all freed from prison. However, despite their release, the case remains unresolved, and prosecutors will not continue to investigate the murders, meaning Eccles, Miss Kelly, and Baldwin may never be cleared of their crimes and will never receive compensation. To this day, the counsel representing the men continue to pursue full exoneration, meaning one of Arkansas's most controversial murder cases is far from over. The tragic story of Ricky Ray Rector. On March 22, 1981, Ricky Ray Rector entered Tommy's old-fashioned home-style restaurant in Conway. He had previously been turned away from the private party. On his return, he fired several shots, killing Arthur Criswell and wounding two others. 2 days later, Rector went to his mother's home, where the police were questioning his mother and sister. Rector shot and killed Officer Robert Martin before running outside and shooting himself in the head. The bullet entered his brain, and efforts by surgeons to remove the bullet resulted in a lobotomy, leaving Rector permanently brain damaged. Despite this, Rector was found competent to stand trial, and despite protests from his attorney, he was sentenced to life in prison for the murder of Arthur Criswell, and later sentenced to death for the capital murder of Robert Martin. Immediately, his lawyer petitioned for habeas corpus, claiming that Rector's mental state had so far deteriorated that he was not fit for execution. The petition was denied. The court determined that Rector could understand why he was being executed and was legally sane. Several more appeals were rejected, and his financial clemency appeal in 1991 was sent to then-Governor Bill Clinton, who made the final decision. At the appeal, inmates testified on behalf of Rector, saying that he would bark, howl, and laugh wildly in his cell. They spoke of his paranoia and fearfulness. One inmate claimed that Rector was terrified to leave his cell. They also stated that Rector could control himself, somewhat, in the presence of law officers, because he was afraid of drawing their attention or anger. Therefore, he might appear to be saner in public than he actually was. Despite these statements, the clemency panel voted against Rector's appeal, and in keeping with the strong stance on capital punishment, Clinton not only denied Rector's appeal for clemency, but flew home to Arkansas in order to oversee the execution personally. Rector's execution was scheduled for 9:15 p.m. on January 24, 1992. His last meal consisted of fried chicken, steak, and pecan pie. According to witnesses, when Rector had finished eating, he set aside a piece of pie and told the guards that he would like to save it for later. When it came to the execution, it was delayed because the medical technicians were unable to find a usable vein. Rector attempted to help them find a vein that would work, and witnesses stated that he seemed to be innocently cheerful, as though he believed that technicians were performing a simple, everyday procedure. Several of the prison officials doubted that the execution should proceed, but at 10:09 p.m, Rector was executed by lethal injection. His execution was controversial, and as Clinton moved on to the presidency, he faced many criticisms regarding his decision to allow it to go ahead. On June 20, 2002, the US Supreme Court ruled that the executions of mentally retarded criminals are cruel and unusual punishments, prohibited by the Eighth Amendment. The story of Ricky Ray Rector is a reminder of the ongoing debate surrounding capital punishment and the treatment of mentally impaired individuals within the justice system. What's your thoughts on this story? The mysterious deaths of Don Henry and Kevin Ives. For the last story of our true crime and real life horror story section, we will talk about the mysterious deaths of Don Henry and Kevin Ives. They were two teenagers from Arkansas, whose lives were tragically cut short in August 1987. Their mysterious deaths have puzzled investigators and sparked numerous conspiracy theories for decades. On the night of August 23, 1987, a train conductor discovered the bodies of Don and Kevin lying side by side on the railroad tracks. Despite the conductor's desperate attempts to stop the train, it was too late, and the boys were tragically killed. The initial investigation concluded that the boys had smoked marijuana and fallen asleep on the tracks. However, their families refused to accept this explanation and pushed for further investigation. A second autopsy revealed that the boys had been murdered before being placed on the tracks. Over the years, numerous theories have emerged, including drug smuggling, police cover-ups, and even a connection to high-ranking government officials like Bill Clinton. However, despite several suspects being named, no one has ever been charged with the murders of Don Henry and Kevin Ives. Their tragic deaths remain an unsolved mystery that will continue to haunt their families and the community for years to come. Now it's time for some ghost stories and haunted locations. Let's get into this. We'll start with the Crossed Lights. Over 100 years ago, a railroad worker met an untimely end when he was beheaded near the track. It is said he got into a fight with another employee that ended in him losing his head, either by being pushed into the path of a train or from the axe of his workmate. Either way, ever since the incident, a mysterious ball of light started to appear at night near the site of the man's demise. Witnesses have reported it changes colour and sways back and forth along the road that now covers the old railway tracks. Many believe it is the spirit of the worker who is looking for his lost head, whilst others say it is his wife carrying a lantern looking for her husband. The scientifically minded explain the light as swamp gas, however that doesn't explain why the light disappears when approached, and reportedly will travel through cars on the road. It is said that if you drive into Crossit and flash your lights 3 times at the crossroads, the ghost light will appear and hang in mid-air as you drive towards it, before disappearing after 10 to 15 seconds. It might be worth a try if you live in the area. Let us know how you get on. The Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. The Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, has a dark past, and is said to be one of the most haunted places in the country. It was built in 1886 as a luxury resort for the wealthy. Over the years, it has served as a college, a hospital, and even a cancer treatment center, but it's the building's time as a hospital that has left the most lasting impression. During the 1930s, the Crescent Hotel was turned into a hospital by a man named Norman Baker. Baker claimed to have a cure for cancer, but his treatments were unproven and often deadly. Many of his patients died in the hospital, and their spirits are said to still haunt the halls. One of the most haunted areas of the hotel is the morgue, where Baker's patients were stored after they died. Guests have reported seeing ghostly apparitions and feeling cold spots in the area. Another haunted area is room 218, where a young woman named Michaela died. She fell from the balcony of the room, and is said to still haunt it to this day. Guests have reported hearing her voice and feeling her presence in the room. The hotel's basement is also said to be haunted by the spirits of Baker's patients. Guests have reported hearing strange noises and feeling a sense of unease in the area. There have even been a few sightings of Morris, a lovable cat that used to live at the hotel and is buried on the property. However, despite its dark past, the Crescent Hotel is still a popular destination for tourists and ghost hunters alike. And if you're brave enough, you can even stay in one of the haunted rooms and experience the hotel's ghostly residence for yourself. If we ever take a trip to Arkansas, you know exactly what hotel we'll be staying in. The Allen House in Montecillo. The Allen House in Montecillo, Arkansas is a beautiful Victorian mansion built in 1906 by Joe Lee Allen and his wife Caddy. However, the house is not just known for its stunning architecture and rich history, it's also known for its ghosts. Many believe that the house is haunted by the ghosts of its former residents. Visitors have reported seeing apparitions, hearing strange noises, and feeling a presence in the house. There have been reports of a woman in a white dress walking through the halls, a man in a top hat standing in the foyer, and a little girl playing in the attic, believed to be the ghost of Liddell, who died in the house in the 1940s. Some people believe that the ghosts of the Allen House are friendly and just want to be acknowledged. Others believe that they are more malevolent and should be avoided at all costs. Whether you believe in ghosts or not, the Allen House is a fascinating place with a rich history and a lot of stories to tell. the King Opera House in Van Buren. The King Opera House was built in 1880 and was once a popular venue for live performances and events. However, over the years, it has gained a reputation for being one of the most haunted places in Arkansas. Many people have reported seeing ghostly apparitions, hearing strange noises, and feeling an eerie presence in the building, and many think the murder of an actor is to blame. Actor Charles Tolson owned the Tolson Stock Company, a traveling acting troupe. In September 1903, the cast had just finished a week of performances at the King Opera House in Van Buren. The group later headed out of town and gathered at the train station for an early train to Fort Smith. Tolson went to the ticket office to purchase tickets for the group when Dr. William Parchman called out his name. As Tolson looked around, the doctor shot him multiple times with his .44 revolver. He was taken by train to a Fort Smith hospital where he died from his injuries. Dr. Parchman notified the sheriff of his actions and told him he believed his 17-year-old daughter, Allie, was in love with Tolson and planned to run away with him, even though he was married and his wife was a member of the acting troupe, and there was no proof he had any intention of eloping with the girl. Parchman acted on information given to him by a vinegar salesman. At trial, Parchman was found not guilty of the murder, despite multiple witnesses. Notably, Allie and the vinegar salesman had left town together and were not present for the trial. It's said that Tolson's embittered ghost now haunts the King Opera House, the location of his last performance. If you've ever visited the Opera House, let us know if you felt any strange activity. And lastly, in our section of creepy and haunted locations from Arkansas, we'll talk about Mont Holly Cemetery, which is in the heart of the city of Little Rock. It is the final resting place of many famous locals, including governors, senators, and even a Supreme Court justice. However, it's also known for its ghostly encounters and a place where the dead do not rest in peace. When Mount Holly was established, bodies from other graveyards and private home estates were relocated there. And as we all know, disturbing graves can reawaken spirits, confusing them and making them restless. Visitors have reported statues on the graves moving right in front of them, and some even find their way onto the lawns of the local residents. Apparitions have been witnessed strolling through the cemetery dressed in 19th century clothing, and ghostly lights have been captured on film. Some have claimed to see the ghost of a little girl who died in a nearby house fire, while others have reported seeing the ghost of a Confederate soldier who was buried in the cemetery after the Civil War. The soldier's grave is one of the most visited sites in the cemetery, and legend has it that his ghost appears on the anniversary of his death, walking around the cemetery and searching for his lost love. It's believed that the cemetery is haunted because of the tragic events that took place in Little Rock's history, from the Civil War to the yellow fever epidemic. The cemetery has seen its fair share of death and sorrow. However, despite the ghostly legends, Mount Holly Cemetery is a beautiful and peaceful place to visit, filled with stunning monuments and sculptures that reflect the history and culture of Arkansas. Just think twice about walking through there at night, because things change. Myths and legends. Arkansas is full of myths and legends, but we're going to start with Highway 365, which is one of the most enduring legends surrounding Arkansas that happened many years ago when a young man was driving down Arkansas Highway 365, south of Little Rock, when he saw a young girl on the roadside. He offered to give her a lift and draped his coat over her shoulders because she was cold and soaked from the rain. She gave him directions to her house and he drove her home. When they reached her house, the young man got out of his car and walked around to help the girl out of her seat, but she was gone. Confused, the man walked up to the house and knocked on the door. A woman answered, and he explained what had occurred. She said, "That young girl is my daughter who was killed years ago. She hitchhikes back home once a year." The shocked young man couldn't believe what he was hearing and asked the woman where her daughter was buried. He then drove to the cemetery to see the young girl's grave, and there he found his coat draped over her tombstone. The Fauk Monster. Deep in the heart of the Arkansas wilderness, there's a legend that has been haunting the locals for decades. It's the story of a creature known as the Fauk Monster. The Fauk Monster is said to be a large, hairy creature that walks on two legs and has glowing red eyes. It's been spotted by hunters, hikers, and even families camping in the woods. The legend of the monster gained national attention in the 1970s when a movie called The Legend of Boggy Creek was released. The movie was based on the sightings of the creature in the small town of Fauk. The monster has been a part of local folklore for generations, and there have been countless sightings of the creature over the years, but no one has ever been able to capture it or prove its existence. However, despite the lack of evidence, people still come to the area to search for the beast. Some believe that it's a Bigfoot-like creature, while others think it's a wild animal that's been living in the woods for years. Whether it's real or not, it remains part of the local culture and will likely continue for generations to come. Let us know if you've ever been out looking for it. The Dog Boy of Quitman. Quitman is a small town in Arkansas where a legend has been passed down for generations. It's the story of a boy who was raised by dogs. The boy, whose name was never known, was abandoned by his parents and left to fend for himself in the wilderness. But he wasn't alone. He found a pack of dogs who took him in as one of their own. The boy was known to the locals as a feral child and was often seen running around with the pack of dogs and was often heard howling like them. The dog boy became a local celebrity and people would come from all over to catch a glimpse of him. However, he was shy and elusive and would often disappear into the woods with his dogs. As the years went by, the dog boy became more and more reclusive. He was afraid of people and would only come out at night to scavenge for food. The dog boy lived a hard life, but by all accounts he was happy with his dogs, although sadly he died in the woods, alone, at a relatively young age. The Legend of Petite Jean. The legend of Petite Jean begins with a young Frenchwoman named Adrienne Demont, who fell in love with a man named Talon, who was a soldier in the French army. When Talon was sent to explore the Louisiana Territory, Adrienne disguised herself as a man and joined the expedition. During the journey, Adrienne fell ill and died, and Talon buried her on a mountain that he named Petite Jean, which means Little John in French, after Adrienne's nickname. Legend has it that her spirit still haunts the mountain. Visitors to Petite Jean State Park in Arkansas have reported seeing a ghostly figure of a woman in a flowing white dress. But the legend doesn't end there. It is said that if a man walks under the natural arch that is located on Petite Jean Mountain, he will never return home. Despite the warning, many men have attempted to walk under the arch. Some have never returned, while others have returned changed, with a newfound appreciation for life. The legend of Petite Jean is a story that has captivated people for centuries and is a reminder of the power of love and the enduring spirit of those who have passed on. And this brings us to our last entry in the mythical creatures section of Towns of Terror. We'll end with the Ozark Howler, which is a mysterious creature that has been spotted in the Ozark Mountains of Arkansas. The creature has long been the subject of many legends and sightings. It's described as a large, black or dark brown creature with glowing eyes, sharp claws, and horns or antlers on its head. Some people believe it's a type of big cat, while others think that it's a hybrid of different animals. The first recorded sighting of the Ozark Howler was in the 1800s, and since then, there have been many reports of people hearing its distinctive howl in the mountains. Some people claim to have seen it in the flesh, but there's no concrete evidence to support these claims. That was until in October 2004, when a recorded emergency call received by AGFC indicates a motorist nearly collided with an unidentified mammal at 9:45 p.m. The recorded phone conversations indicates that armed state wildlife officers may have been dispatched to investigate what reports described as a bear-sized, grey, fast-running animal on Pump Station Road in Springdale. And then, in December 2005, the Arkansas television station 4029 News reported that it had received photographs purported to be images of the creature from a viewer. The photograph didn't quite fit the description of what others in Arkansas say they've seen, although it does look like an unknown creature. Many describe the photos as looking more like a pet dog with badly done Photoshop antlers. Although the person who took the photographs insists he was camping at Devil's Den State Park and saw the strange creature chase a squirrel up a tree. Whether he captured the elusive Ozark howler is still up for debate. What do you think? And so, that concludes our first episode of Towns of Terror. Now, we know Arkansas and the states in America are not classed as towns. However, we settled on the name Towns of Terror as we liked it so much. But just know that our Towns of Terror series will encompass towns, cities, states, and even entire countries. Let us know in the comments section below which location you would like to see in an upcoming episode of Towns of Terror. We hope you enjoyed this new series, and we look forward to seeing you in the next video.